Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back, South Florida. This is your host, Janie Smith. Mind Your Biz Today. And we are going to be speaking today with Alan Bolio from the Institute for Trend Research. First, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Hudson Institute of Executive Education, located at Nova University. And we want to remind our listeners, as we do every Friday, to please go to our website, mindyourbiztoday.com. We'd love to hear your comments and any requests you have for show topics. We're happy to oblige. We are in January in the new year of 2011, and we're going to dedicate a number of shows this month to what does 2011 look like, both in trends, economically, what can we expect, what moves should we be making. So a number of our guests are going to be focusing on that, as will Alan. So I would like to introduce Alan again. We had the good fortune to have him on for a second time. We had him a few months ago, and he was a big hit. All our listeners really were excited about what he brings to Mind Your Biz Today. Alan is the principal and president of ITR, the Institute for Trend Research in New Hampshire. This is an organization that has been following and predicting trends for many, many years. I personally have been following them for about 15 years. They have about a 96-97% accuracy rate on their forecast because of their model and how they do trending. Alan, thank you for being with us today.
Janie, always my pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you so much. There's so much going on, and of course, everyone is constantly guessing, where do we go? And I've said this to you before, and I say it regularly, if you pick up the newspaper, you feel like you're having a schizophrenic experience because one column is telling you how good things are getting, and the next column is telling you how things are getting worse. And none of us can make heads or tails out of it. Yesterday, I was on an airplane, as I usually am, and USA Today had a small column on how the service industries is seeing a jump in growth. And at the same time, we're hearing about the jobs picture, numbers looking ever so slightly better, but only because unemployment people are dropping out of the job market, so the numbers aren't really something to rely on. So I'm really interested in what you're going to have to say today. So let's start with one thing that all of us were on pins and needles about at the end of last year, is the tax law changes. You know, what were they going to do for us or against us? So how does that impact the economy and businesses, our listeners or business people? How does that impact the economy and businesses, these tax changes they're making?
That's a great place to start, Janie, because everybody was holding their breath. And, you know, you mentioned the newspapers, and that ties in well to this thought, because a lot of people are saying, oh, they finally decided, and now some uncertainty disappears. But, you know, all we've done is delayed the uncertainty because nothing about this is permanent. We have 2 years. Businesses that think in anything other than a short-term cycle look at these 2 years, and they still have uncertainty because they don't know anything beyond that cycle. And that's not long enough for a lot of business planning. You don't make capital expenditure and major expansion decisions based upon a 2-year tax trend. So while it was no doubt well-intentioned, and I'm glad that it passed, it doesn't really have a lot of positive impact on the economy and on businesses. And the reasons why are pretty straightforward, besides the whole uncertainty thing. What we did was we extended the Bush tax cuts. That does not provide any extra money for anybody. That just means you're not going to have more taken away from you.
Right. It doesn't change what our cash flow has been so far.
That's correct. So where's the What is the help in that? There's no stimulus in that.
Right. Much ado about nothing. You know, you just made me think about something. The profile of the entrepreneur always used to be entrepreneurs' personality has been damn the torpedoes. But I think that this situation has changed the entrepreneur's profile. Nobody's willing to damn the torpedoes because we're not going to take those leaps we used to take because there's continues to be this uncertainty.
Correct. The risks are so high, especially when it comes to hiring new people because of the healthcare changes, payroll taxes. One of the other changes that your listeners may want to take advantage of, Janie, is the fact that, and I just learned this yesterday, literally, for 11 and 12, estate taxes and gift taxes are treated the same. So if what I was told is correct, and I haven't had a chance to research this personally, you can now give up to $10 million of your net worth away to your children in 11 and 12 free. It's treated under the gift tax.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge benefit that people that have money should be taken care of. I mentioned it to my own dad. He wasn't so interested, but
he's not writing out the check or changing the will. Well, let me ask you something. Alan, you know, here's one of the things all my clients, I deal with small, medium-sized businesses as well as large companies, and one of the biggest concerns is bank lending. These folks are banging their head against the wall. Is bank lending going to pick up speed or what?
It is, and it's going to pick up speed in Florida, too, which is its own flavor of things because it's so hard hit in Florida, and so many of the failed banks and troubled banks were in Florida. And yet, the situation is getting better there. Just in the last 3 months, things have started to improve, so I'm sure many people haven't seen it yet. Keep negotiating or go back and negotiate again, and you're probably going to find that they're more willing to talk with you. And while they're going to raise the bar high in the initial conversations, you can wear them down. On the commercial side, it can wear them down and get yourself a good deal to the point where you may not have to sign personally, to the point where you may have to not pledge everything you own against this credit line that you're after for your business. Things are changing for the better nationally, and they're changing for the better in Florida.
Well, that's very interesting because I read recently where home purchasers are going to maybe have to be putting down 30%. It went from 10 to 20, now maybe 30% to get the home loan. So why would they be more aggressive, the banks, more willing to lend on the commercial side?
Because it's more responsible because bankers can understand corporate balance sheets and income statements and cash flow statements, things that consumers don't regularly bring. And because banks have so much in the way of property from people who put nothing to 3% down, Jenny, and then walked away. And they really don't need to do that again. They want to make sure that the person borrowing on this mortgage has a real reason to stay in that home. And if they sniff that you might just walk away, they don't need that hassle. They can't handle that hassle. The federal regulator behind them won't let them handle that hassle. That's a large part of it. And that there's a lot of distressed properties, Jenny, that are beat up. You know, they need TLC. And they want to make sure that if you're going to that home, you have a vested interest in fixing that home and so that in a year or two they don't inherit something in even worse condition than it already is.
So talk for a minute, if you would, about the commercial real estate side in Florida.
Yeah, I just looked at that yesterday as well, and the value of commercial construction in the state of Florida is still 30% below year-ago levels, and 2009 was a bad year in and of itself. There's still so much out there that needs to be absorbed, you should be able to negotiate a deal for some of that empty space. Now, they may say on the surface they're not going to, but they'll make a deal of some kind, some free months, some upgrades, some extensions. You just have to be creative with these folks. The property owners and managers can't give you necessarily a rate break because they have to satisfy the bank, but there are other ways that they can make this a really good option for you. And property values are not going to be coming up in Florida for a while. There's just too much empty space, and job creation and business expansion will be too slow in the next couple of years.
So you're saying that the commercial area should still be flat for at least a couple more years or longer?
Well, let's talk in terms of 2011, and then we'll come back on the show later and
see what the trends are telling us next, what the indicators are telling us.
Yeah, I don't want to hang myself out to dry all at once.
Okay, I appreciate that, Alan. So should businesses be concerned about inflation? That's the other thing that keeps dangling in front of us. We don't know if we're going up or down or sideways on that one.
Isn't that amazing? Dr. Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, insists that there's no inflation, and yet around the world, people are looking at it and going, yeah, there's inflation, and that's what's bidding up the price on 10-year government bond yields, even though the Fed is working hard to keep them down, and they're partially effective with that. That's part of the reason why gold has gone up to $1,400 an ounce, is because investors and smart money around the world is saying, you know what, there's inflation coming. That's why states are having a hard time selling munis, one of the reasons. There's a couple reasons, so certainly one of them. And so, yes, your business listeners should indeed be afraid of inflation, Janie, because their producer price index and they're going to feel it now. Prices coming in from China are already going up. Energy is at $91 a barrel. Oil is at $91 a barrel. It's going to face upside pressure, especially later in 2011. They're going to be getting squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, and they need to find ways to pass along small, emphasis on small, italicized, underlined, price increases on an intermittent basis so that they can slip them through and help protect their bottom line.
Okay, so let me just go back, if I could, and just ask you another question. I'm really curious about this article I read yesterday on the service industry that says service industry sees a jump in growth. And they said the last part of it says companies covered by the survey from healthcare to retail to financial services received the most orders in 5 years. What are you seeing in your trends relative to the service industries, and what impact will that have on, you know, jobs and businesses trying to sell to those service sectors?
Well, it's interesting. On jobs, they'll be slow to hire. They will try to get as much as they can out of the existing workforce, and then you go to temporary staffing and contract labor, and then you hire. And what we find is that hours have been increased internally. Temporary staffing is rising nicely above vertical levels, so step one and step two are in place. So later, as we traverse 2011, we will see employment in those areas go up. If I were selling into those areas, what I would be doing is saying, hey, I'm your back office. Hey, I'm the guy who can provide this service so that you don't have to hire somebody unstated in this uncertain environment. And I can relieve you of that certainty. I'll take the risk upon myself. It's a great selling mechanism.
So to be the outsource
department.
Yeah, I mean, we do that. We're finding more and more of our clients are asking us to do that for them and take on more and more of their outsource work. We do, as you know, competitive advantages, but now our clients are saying, how far can you go with that? Can you go right up to doing our brochure, for example? And they want to get it off their plate. And I think it's not just a question of not hiring the person, but it's because of what you said earlier, the combination of having working more hours on the core product or core service. We don't have time. We don't have time. Not just the money. We don't have the time or the energy to do it. So I do see a lot of that. We're a service business. You're a service business. And I know both of us have talked before about how we're seeing that pick up. So, Alan, one thing I forgot to mention in the beginning of the show, I want to be sure I mention it a couple times so our listeners don't miss it, is that you wrote this wonderful book. I believe it came out last year, Make Your Move. So in view of what we've just talked about, we're just about to come to a commercial break, but what move in view of what we just talked about relative to inflation should businesses be considering making now and or with bank lending?
Take advantage of low interest rates before they start going up later this year. So borrow as much as you can, as soon as you can, and invest it in your business to drive efficiencies. It's all about driving efficiencies now to making sure we can absorb some inflation before we can pass it along. Number two, and I know we're heading to break, is to buy inflation-adjusted assets, something that will increase my cash flow or an asset that will naturally go up in value with inflation, which is on our doorstep.
Okay, such as? Give me a quick example before we break.
Sure, real estate. This is a great time for individuals to go out there and buy some rental property because rental properties are doing very well. Rental rates are holding up well because people can't buy, don't want to buy, and it'll be a few years before that changes. And the property value will go up with inflation
okay.
in the years to come. Not next two, but if you hold
right.
for 10 years, you'll create some real wealth for yourself.
Thanks, Alan. We got a break. We're going to go to our sponsor, and we'll be back very shortly. So please stay tuned. Listeners, we're going to be back with Alan Bolio of the Institute for Trend Research. This is Janie Smith, your host from Mind Your Biz Today. We'll be right back. Thank you, Nova, for sponsoring.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
So searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Welcome back, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. We're having a wonderful economic discussion with Alan Bolio from the Institute for Trend Research. Alan is with us today from New Hampshire. Alan, how's the snow up there? I forgot to ask you.
It's cold, but it's New England. So, you know, I left the house today. It was 17 degrees. And I said to myself, hey, it's pretty nice out today.
Well, I got a sense of that. I was in Toronto yesterday, so I got a taste of it myself.
Oh, my. I like Toronto.
Yeah, I do, too, but not the airport and not this time of the year when it's snowing like crazy like it was last night, delaying everything.
That would not be fun, Janie.
So for our listeners, we're going to talk a few more minutes about some of the trends, and feel free, Alan, if you've got some other than the questions I have for you that you think our listeners or anybody in a business or running a business would take advantage of. But first, you know, we were just ended up on the break there talking a little bit about the real estate, commercial real estate, and then you said, you know, one of the moves is to invest in an asset such as real estate. So will the Florida housing market improve soon? This is the thing that's, you know, the anchor on South Florida and for that matter, all of Florida. So will it improve soon?
Improve is a relative term. Improve as in no longer declining? Yes. improve as in going back to where it was in 2005, 2006, not anytime soon.
Or as in never?
Well, I don't think never. You know, we do something new now, Janie, and thank you for opening the door for me. We have something called an opportunity index that we put together for different states, and it's based upon a number of different indicators, including real estate. It also looks at a state's workforce quality, business cost, entrepreneurial environment. There are six things in all. And Florida, even with, and please forgive me if this is too abrupt, a really lousy real estate environment, it's the 42nd out of 50 in the nation, and you know, you want to be number one, not number 50, and local market conditions because of that, which includes banking and some other things. Even with that, Florida it ranks 19th in the union by ITR's metrics because of the quality of the workforce and business costs and entrepreneurial environment. You know, when housing stabilizes nationally and the economy gets some forward momentum going, those last three things, workforce, business costs, entrepreneurial stuff, that just screams, come to Florida. And I know you have a new governor who's convinced and will be working towards bringing businesses to Florida, so it's not just a retirement community. Those prices will move up in Florida, and you're going to find that the inventory is slowly soaked up, and we're going to find that housing starts and go up along with it. And at the same time, there is a large amount, I'm not sure how large, but there's a significant amount of money coming in from Central America buying into the Florida market, and they're taking advantage of these very low prices. And I believe it's called the Chavez effect. They are sheltering money from Hugo, bringing money to the U.S.
That's very interesting. I have not heard about the Chavez effect. It makes sense, though. Okay, so for 2011, when do we see that? When do we see, not like you said, it's not going to be any big bump up, but when do we start to see it at least look like it's got some color in its face again?
Well, you know, in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area, prices have already stabilized. They've stabilized at $206,000 for a median home sale price today. I mean, that's down, obviously, significantly from the 2006 peak. But stability with a hint of rise is how it begins. And that's better than a lot of the states. So that part of Florida certainly is showing some improvement. Melbourne prices are bouncing up. They're very, very low at $103,000. But they are bouncing up. Orlando is still moving down, if you want an offset.
Wow.
Myers is moving up, but the other coast, obviously, but at 92,900 compared to 200 and some odd for Miami. I mean, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, your part of the world, Janie, is actually in pretty good shape for, compared to a lot of Florida.
Really, relatively speaking. All right, well, let me ask you something else, Alan. This is something over the years when I've heard you speak, it's always struck me as peculiar and something that most people probably don't know, and I really appreciate your sharing that, is that the consumer index has nothing to do with what's actually happening. Could you explain that? I mean, what we think about it or how we feel about the economy really does not, you've showed these great graphs about when things are up or down, it really has no correlation whatsoever to the consumer confidence index.
That's right. We use consumer expectations from the University of Michigan because that's considered to be the best source. And we compare how consumers are feeling confidence or expectations to actual retail sales, which is traditionally 67% of the economy. And when you look at the two trend lines, they can be moving in opposite directions. We can be spending more and really uncertain and unhappy, and other times we're feeling pretty good, but we're spending less. You have no predictive capability off of that. It's just that occasionally they head in the right direction at the same time, but they also are apt to do the opposite. So anybody that watches that can be misled a good portion of the time. There are much better things to watch than that. The Purchasing Managers Index from the Institute for Supply Management, much better leading indicator.
You know, I think I've got a title for your next book. I think it should be A Schizophrenia Economics, because that seems to be the case. You know, in so many things. I mean, even I feel like we should just turn off the news because the news is schizophrenic when we talk about economics, isn't it?
It is. They have no vested interest. It's not their job to develop a system that will consistently work. It's just the news of the day and somebody's interpretation. And the varied interpretation over time leads you with nothing but a muddled message. There's no value to that.
So now we're going, beginning of 2011, we're all fired up. Most businesses I know, they're still uncertain, but we're all trying to be optimistic because that's the nature of the human being. You know, we want to be optimistic. We want to say enough already, and we want to forge on. So what is the most important thing for business leaders to keep in front of them for 2011? What balls should they keep their eyes on?
Oh, most important is when you make it difficult for me. But let me... All right, here's the answer.
Or several things.
That work?
Okay,
good. Thank you for allowing me to branch out into several. But
please do.
At the top of my list, I would put people that work for us. We are going to have to work hard to make sure that our people are filled with hope and optimism because of all the uncertainty that's still out there in the world. They still fear the market and all the rest of that. We have to make sure that they are energized so that they are productive so that we can ensure their jobs and life goes on. We're going to have to provide training. If company is not willing to spend money on the training of its employees, their competitors will bury them. Nothing is going to be worse in a mild recovery than to find that our employees can't answer questions, don't know about the product, don't know why we're better, just speaking to your competitive advantage.
Thank you, Alan. I always love your plugs.
I just had that conversation with our own folks this morning. Do you all know why we're the best? It's that important. It's training, and then everyone listening should understand later this year we're going to have to hand out some pretty significant raises, something in the order of 4% to 5% raises to keep people even with the standard cost of living, therefore the standard of living that they're used to so that they don't become unhappy.
Yeah, that almost sounds counter to people saying, but the labor market is what it is. You should be glad you have a job, and you're saying just the opposite. No, we got to keep what we have well-trained, well-trained, and well-fed.
That's correct. Otherwise, we'll end up like everybody else. And you and I know the goal in business is not to be like everybody else, but to have the best.
Have the best and be different. Be better.
Right. That's absolutely right. So I would start there. And after that, I would get creative. And I would spend money. And you know this is near and dear to my heart. I would spend money on the marketing message, which wraps up your competitive advantages. It wraps up after that. How do I get the message out? What am I saying? I'm going to be selling into a different environment than I had in the last 2 years. So whatever marketing plan I had selling into a recession does not work selling into a recovery. I better know how I should be positioning myself, selling myself, what message I need to convey as an entity, and that takes money. It's marketing, competitive advantage, and advertising, and getting that message out there. That's
Yeah, and that bodes very well for these five, what I want to say is the 500 million web designers there are all over America. It seems there's about a one-to-one ratio for population. There's so many web developers. But it's a good thing because that's something that needs to be handled. It is part of that communication you're talking about. How do we get the word out? How do we keep up with social media if our businesses lends itself well to that? And all of those are investments, both in training our people and in those outside resources that you talked about earlier, aren't they?
They certainly are. And we're going to have to talk to folks who can help us craft a message based upon the upcoming economic condition of inflation and higher interest rates and perhaps deficit problems and uncertainty in the world over the dollar. As we sell into fear, it's different than selling into hope. You know, we're going to have to create some hope and show people why we're the answer that they've been looking for, and that takes money. It takes a lot of effort, as a matter of fact. You can't delegate this. Top management has got to be involved in this, or it doesn't fly.
You know, you're absolutely right. When we go in and do our work with teams on competitive advantage to help uncover and identify them, we tell our clients, if the CEO is not going to be available that day, call us for another day, because it's critical that the top management team understand this, and they can't expect their team to buy into delivering the message if they're not all over it themselves. And it is astounding. You've seen my statistics, Alan, how few companies get this right. I mean, 95% of the companies from our survey are selling the wrong attributes. They're saying buy from us because ABC, and the research comes back and the customers don't care about ABC. So, I mean, that is just alignment and just those things. In 2011, you know, if you're going to come out of the recession ahead of the folks, you got to make your moves. We got just a few more minutes, so let's talk a little bit about your book. I love your book, Make Your Move. So tell us how that's laid out. I know, but tell our listeners so that they can appreciate it and pick it up and have it apply to their business. We only have a couple minutes, but if you could give a capsule on that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's designed to instruct the reader, and that's probably a horrible word, but that's really what we had in mind, on how any company can take advantage of what we do by developing a rate of change mentality, incorporating it into their dashboard, incorporating it into how they look at the world around them. There are internal metrics which will lead them into knowing what their future will be. There are all kinds of external metrics so that they can have confidence in what their business will be facing for the next 6 to 12 months. And then we run through dozens and dozens and dozens of strategic thoughts that we call the management objectives, that will challenge people to think, oh, have I done this? Have I done this? Oh, I haven't thought of that. I should be allocating some resources to that.
Okay, thanks, Alan. We're getting really close to wrapping up here, so I just want to say I want to just punctuate the fact that you don't have to be a Fortune 500 company to benefit from this book. You can be a small company. It's very clear in this book, if you just keep an eye on the economic trends, you'll know exactly what moves you need to be making. Alan, before we sign off, would you just give us your website so our listeners know how to reach you?
Sure, www.itreconomics.com.
Itreconomics.com. Folks, by all means, look more into what the Institute for Trend Research offers you. As I said, my clients and I have been following this team of wonderful economists for over 15 years, and they are on the money 96-97% of the time. So thanks for tuning in today for Mind Your Biz Today. Visit us at mindyourbiztoday.com. We'd love to hear your comments on this show, past shows, and any ideas you have for future shows, topics you would like to have us be discussing. We bring in experts from all over the country, and we'd love to have your opinions as well. So thanks to our sponsor, Nova. We're going to be hearing from them again. Please tune in next Friday. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us today.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30.